Hello, good morning. Egunon, buenos días. Good morning. My name is Joaquín Fuentes. I'm very pleased to welcome you to my hometown, to Donostia San Sebastian, Spain. There are many, many people that I'd like to thank. I'd like to thank especially the program committee, where I have enjoyed the support and the company of the key leading experts from Spain. And I also like to thank the local committee here, the people from San Sebastian, who really have helped me. This INFAR has been a dream of mine, and I always thought that it would be fantastic to have this conference here. And I'm so happy, so thrilled to have you here. We have had activities leading up to this moment all year long. We wanted to warm up the city, to prepare the city for this fantastic event, and we have had all kinds of activities, from courses at the Basque University, from activities at the jazz festival with people with autism playing jazz, movies, special movies on autism at the film festival. We have had courses of art for children with and without autism spectrum disorders. We have had, you name it, we have had so many, many things. Yesterday night, we had this fantastic concert by the Basque National Orchestra and the performance of James Hobley, who was brilliant, a brilliant dancer with autism spectrum disorder as well. And if you were able to see during the night time, the city, the San Sebastian, is light up in blue for these three nights. You'll see the Cursal Center, you'll see the City Palace, the lighthouse of the island, and the sculptures at the end of the bay. They are all light up until 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, go to bed, because you have to come here to work the following day. So when the lights go off, you come up here. We didn't control for the weather, and they say that it's going to be better tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And in next week, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be terrific. So you might think about staying here forever. I mean, we really welcome you here. Okay. It is a real pleasure to see so many friends here, our colleagues, sharing insightful information and continuing the vital process of life's learning. My hard-working committee has had one thing in mind as we plan the logistics of this meeting: keeping the environment comfortable and enjoyable during the time that you learn, that we all learn. We think that you will enjoy the venue and what we have planned for you. I would also like to invite this year's program chair, Dr. Thomas Bourgeron, to join me here in this presentation. What a marvelous job Thomas did in the selection of the speakers, the poster sessions, oral sessions, and all the programming. Bonjour, mon ami. Tiens la parole.
Bonjour, merci beaucoup. Thank you, Joachim. It's really Joachim Magic Fuentes, I call him now. So, welcome to the IMFAR 2013. It was an intense pleasure to organize this with all the beautiful people that you can see were in the scientific committee. There were many, many reviewers. I have to apologize for 329 individuals that had their abstract rejected. This is the first time, and I was the guy who has done that. So just to give you an idea of the success of IMFAR, in 2012, there was 1,291 abstracts, and only 37 rejected. I don't know. But this year, we received 1,476 abstracts, and so we had to cut off about 27% of the that was never seen before. So it's not my fault. Okay, and I think I will be brief, but I think this is really, I'm in the field of autism for now a little bit more than 10 years, but I can see really that there is something happening, and I think we are all here to understand the causes of autisms, and And that way, Dan Gershwin will give a keynote lecture, I think, tomorrow about what can be done when you have a good geneticist and a good neurobiologist in the same brain. So it's really, it's going to be amazing. But also, there is another question I wanted to highlight in this IMFAR, is what can we do for people with autism? And I think this is not the same question, and I think we have to answer both questions. What are the causes of autism, but also what can we do? And that's why I wanted Christopher Gilbert to be there, and maybe his talk is how severe is autism really. And I think we have to ask this question every day we are working. I think we have to think about these questions. I think this is a really an important question. And also, to Maureen Durkin will speak on Saturday on the epidemiology of autism, but also towards a more inclusive world. So I think we will get really insight from the causes of autism, but also we'll get some, I think, new ideas on how to see the world with people with autism. Okay, so I think I've done my job now, and it's my great pleasure. I mean, I had some weeks like living in Europe during the day and living in the night with Jennifer Gentry during the night in the U.S. for now 1 month or so to organize this Congress. And thanks to Ellen Tiger-Flusberg, who asked me to be the chairman. So thank you again, Ellen, and I leave you the floor.
Okay, everyone. These are the guys that have made it happen here today and for the next 3 days. I think we all want to thank them. This is no small feat. What I've learned over the last year or two, working with them both, is that this is an amazing soccer rivalry. And there are multiple soccer rivalries that involve towns and counties and countries. But as you can see here, what we've done at IMFAR is to bring them together, and they are now holding hands. So we have brought something of peace to this part of Europe, and we are really so proud to be here with them. So the question is, why did we pick Donostia San Sebastian? Well, of course, there's this magnificent Kursaal Convention Center, okay? But then, when I arrived, I understood why Joaquin Fuentes wanted us to be here. As I crossed the bridge, and I saw all those golf balls sitting on there. Anyone who knows Joaquin Fuentes knows that soccer pales in comparison to golf as the passion of his life. And you can see how much this city values him in that they have put as their major decoration on the bridges to the Kursaal Convention Center golf balls so that he can think about his passion every time he comes here. So thank you, Joaquin. As we heard from him, he arranged a year-long set of events in anticipation, and this was referred to as Donostia Autism, all leading up to IMFAR 2013, as we, those of us who came last night to that wonderful concert here in this hall, could see. He's also organized Light It Up Blue campaigns, and for the time that we are here from yesterday through the end of the weekend, different parts of the city will be lit up blue, and as we all know, this is the universal sign of autism awareness. I just want to remind everyone, do get the word out. Already this morning, there were several stories in major media outlets, a story in the Wall Street Journal coming out of IMFAR, a stories on Health Day, and Reuters. And those of you who are into Twitter, which I'm afraid I'm not yet grown up enough to manage, this is the hash, get out there and tweet about all the exciting science. Because I want to remind you, that's what IMFAR is all about. It's about our opportunity to talk to one another, to present the very best, cutting-edge, important scientific research on autism. We are the unique and best-known venue for that, and we need to get the word out. Okay, it's now my real privilege to thank the sponsors of the meeting. Without our sponsors, many of you would not be able to be here because we're able to support travel and other kinds of awards, and these are all made possible by our sponsors. And we'll be hearing this morning from the director of the Simons Foundation Autism Research Initiative. Tomorrow morning we'll be hearing from the Chief Scientific Officer, Jerry Dawson, from Autism Speaks. And we also have to express our deep gratitude to the government of Basque Country, the region that we are in here, for their enormous and generous support of our meeting. We have additional gold sponsors, silver sponsors, bronze sponsors, and a supporter, again, from the local government. And again, I'd like to ask everyone to join me in thanking our sponsors for making this meeting possible. Okay, I also want to take a moment to thank the people behind the scenes, okay? Joe Dymock, this isn't a very good picture. It didn't come out nearly as well on this computer. You'll see him walking the hallways up and down, in and out of the rooms. This is the man that really makes every single detail of our conference work so well. He's joined by Jennifer Gentry and Sue Berry of Association Resources. And they too, these are the individuals who work year-round for our organization. Any emails that you send to us, Jennifer is there fielding. Sue Berry provides an enormous amount of support, especially to the board of INSAR. And Rochelle Topping from Convex, I spelt that wrong, I'm sorry. And they are the company that puts together, that organizes our abstract review and program book. So thank you all for bringing us together to celebrate another year of advances in autism research. So, what happens between this coming Sunday and next year, May 14th, which is the date that IMFAR 2014 begins? Well, we don't stop working. IMFAR is really a subsidiary of INSAR, the International Society for Autism Research, and we are your organization, okay? And INSAR is very much more than just IMFAR. We try to provide and are growing exponentially each year in a whole range of different support, networking, and other kinds of services to you. So, here's my plug. Join. And if you have joined because you know that you get a far reduced rate for coming to the conference, keep joining. When you get your due statement next year, respond to it, okay? You can be a member, you can be a student member, and you can be an affiliate, because we want to bring in scientists, professionals, and other stakeholders into our organization and encourage your colleagues and friends. The work of INSAR both in promoting IMFAR, and organizing all the details, as well as all our other activities, are carried out by this amazing board of directors. And the board here, for the last 2 years, I've really had the privilege of working with, and if you're here, please stand up, David Amaral, who's our past president, who handed over to me an incredible organization. Laura Klinger, our past treasurer, who had been the person to put us in the black, and I'm glad to tell you we're still in the black. I don't know if she's here. Lonnie Zwakenbaum, our vice president. Kevin Pelfrey, our current treasurer, who has kept things going. Nancy Minshew, our secretary, who keeps the most detailed minutes ever. And I want to introduce everyone to Francesca Happe, down here in the front. Frankie has been a member of the board this past year as the president-elect, and on Saturday at the business meeting will take over as the next president. And finally, Tony Bailey, who as the editor of our flagship journal, Autism Research, is an ex officio member of the board. The incoming board, I'll wait for Frankie to introduce them next year. But it will, of course, be Frankie, David Mandel, the vice president, Jamie McPartland, the new treasurer, and Connie Kasseri, our new secretary. And the past president and treasurer will be staying on the board just to criticize everything that they do over the next 2 years. Okay, so we set out over the last 2 years to develop a strategic plan. And we have our 5 strategic initiatives that really have guided us and on which we are making significant progress. And I'm putting them up here. And any ideas that you have, do bring along to the board, okay? Setting the bar, promoting and enhancing highest quality research. I will tell you that the index for Autism Research, our flagship journal, is over 3.6 now, and it's the highest ranked journal devoted to publishing in the field of autism. And as you heard, we had to set the bar extremely high this year for abstracts that were accepted because so many were submitted. And I can confess that I, too, had an abstract rejected. So those of you in the audience who did too or know of others, I share your pain. Expanding the scope. We want to make sure that we're not just focusing on narrowly defined topics, but are really beginning to fill the gaps. And I was excited to see that several of the stories covered today in the news coming out of IMFAR focus on girls. Okay, girls we know have been a neglected neglected group of the population. Global reach, expand the scope of activities, a global perspective on autism spectrum disorder. And I had the privilege this year to travel to several countries in Asia to observe what is going on in other countries. And I know we have a SIG devoted to this, and there are several papers and many posters. And I encourage all of you to find out what is happening in terms of autism research and autism services and capacity in other parts of the world. Next generation, we have an amazing student committee, and they are getting very good at knowing how to ask and devise very good ideas for how we can promote the next generation. Fully half the people who are members and active participants at IMFAR are students or junior researchers, and we see as our major mission to foster that next generation. And finally, we want to build our organization identity and membership, so don't forget, maintain your membership and think about how you can get involved. We try to accomplish our goals through various means, and most especially, you, our members, we want you to participate as much as possible in helping to shape and expand our ability to achieve our goals. I want to remind you that we do have a business meeting on Saturday. It's a whirlwind tour. This is where you can come to see the work of the committees, our very hardworking committees in action, 12:30 in room 3. So I look forward to seeing you there. And now it's my distinct pleasure to introduce Dr. Jerry Feshbach, who is the director of the Life Sciences Initiative at the Simons Foundation and also the director of the Simons Foundation Autism Research Initiative. And I think all of you know that SAFARI is one of the major funders of autism research in the world today, with a distinct focus, and I leave it to Jerry to tell you all about his work, but we are especially grateful to the Simons Foundation for their enormous support and generosity to IMFAR.
Thanks very much, Helen. I'm sorry to hear about your rejection, but it reminds me of a story of a friend I knew many, many years ago who was rejected from a very prominent college in the States, and he got a very obnoxious letter from them that they had rejected students with far better records than his. So he wrote back saying that he'd been rejected by schools that are far better than yours. So he rejected their rejection and plan to attend their school in the fall. So I'm glad you're here, and you're doing great work. Now, do I change these slides? And if so, how do I do that? So I'm a Mac person.
I know.
Okay, thank you. I do want to take a few minutes to tell you about SAFARI, and I have 4 announcements to make. 2 new requests for applications. One, a very exciting announcement about the formation of a new brain bank network that Jerry Dawson will also speak about when she addresses you tomorrow. And finally, I want to announce a new director at the Simons Foundation for SAFARI. So I'm going to begin by telling you SAFARI is doing well. We've grown along with the society, which has really been quite remarkable over the last 4 years, to see the increase in numbers and especially the increase in quality of research. We've kept up with it, we've tried to help coordinate it, and we've sponsored a lot of research over the years. We're now funding about 140 investigators around the world, and we have several large collections, cohorts of individuals very well characterized for future studies, longitudinal studies of clinical matters, genetics, and imaging. And I'll say a bit more about them. We focused initially on rare variants, and many have been identified in terms of single genes and copy number variants. And it's time now, and I'll show a couple of slides like this, to ask what is next. We've begun and made huge inroads into understanding the genetic landscape of autism and related disorders. What we need are in-depth studies of recurrent generic variants. We have to really push hard on understanding gene networks, not just simply which gene products are touching each other, but where they are expressed in the brain and when. And we have to describe patterns of gene expression in human postmortem tissue. And I'll come back to that. Rodents have been extremely valuable, but it is time to really address these questions in human tissue. And I'm speaking to you as scientists to direct your attention to human tissue as well as to the more readily accessible rodent species. One thing we've done recently, is it's the origin of one of our RFAs, is to study a particular variant on chromosome 16 at position 11.2. And as you can see in the upper left-hand side of that slide, we see copy number variants in a large, relatively large fraction of the population. Almost 1% of the population have either deletions below that line or duplications of this region. Contains several genes, 20, depending on how you count them, between 25 and 29 genes. One or two are highly suspect. But as you can see in the bar graph below, about 20% of these individuals are diagnosed with autism in a new collection, beyond our SSC, in a new collection of 200 individuals with either deletions or duplications of this region, not recruited because they're on the spectrum. About 20% of those individuals are on the spectrum. This is a study led by John Spiro and Wendy Chung at the Foundation, involving several centers around the country. And the question is, what about the other 80%? Why are they not on the spectrum? What is the source of individual variability? So we have a new targeted RFA we hope you'll be interested in to analyze biospecimens, blood and other specimens that have been collected during this initiative to try and correlate these results with behavioral, neurological, and imaging data that have been already collected. And you could look at the website for Simon's VIP and get more information about that. It's timely because we're expecting applications over the next weeks. One of the key issues is studying these genetic variants in human tissue. And one of the most important things I have to tell you is that we have established a new network of brain banks. This initially was the brainchild of David Amaral, and more about that in a moment. But it is a collaboration right from the start between the Simons Foundation, Autism Speaks, and the Nancy Lurie Marks Foundation. It's a 5-year commitment, and we estimate that over the 5 years, at least $10 million will be spent. We hope to convince the NIH to join in with funds already raised, and we hope to mount a strong outreach effort to families who might be in a position to consider, who have the courage and the wisdom to consider donating brain tissue to unfortunately deceased children. There's going to be a strong outreach effort, and at the present moment, Allison Singer from the Autism Science Foundation is leading that effort. It's outreach to families, not certainly just medical examiners, but to families. You all know there's a tremendous shortage of brain tissue, despite the heroic efforts of a few individuals, especially those in the Autism Tissue Program, which carried the ball for many years. The network, there'll be at least four brain centers at the beginning in California, Texas, New York, and Boston. And there'll be a steering committee. There'll be an oversight board. And there will be a scientific advisory board who will judge applications for brain tissue. The vision statement includes excellence, transparency, and efficiency. And the director, as I said, The initial director will be David Amaral, and I can't think of a better person to raise the standards of human autopsy material. The need is urgent because of the advances in genetics and imaging and clinical matters, and we have to understand the full spectrum of this disorder and distinguish it from comorbidities such as intellectual disability, epilepsy, language impairment, and relate this to brain structure, function, and biochemistry. I can't think of anything more urgent. And we do need, and you're going to hear a lot about this during the next hours and days at the meeting, a lot in the next speech, about validated instruments suitable for large-scale populations. And when I say large-scale, I mean thousands that measure autism severity, measures of early diagnosis, and measures that are suitable for longitudinal studies. All this data will be essential to improve the quality of the brain tissue acquired. We do need more analyses in terms of synapses and circuits. Many of the genetic variants are pointing to chemical synapses in the brain. To me, that's no surprise. That's what the brain does. It communicates its synapses. And there is an excitatory-inhibitory imbalance. But that's not sufficient simply to state that. We have to know where this occurs and what the consequences of the EI imbalance are for the function of neural circuits and ultimately for understanding autistic behaviors. And we must correlate that with genetic alterations. So there is a second targeted RFA to look at circuit dynamics. And what's new here is the need to work with awake, alert, behaving rodents to look at multi-electrode recordings or multi-optical probe recordings to put together the function of large populations of cells and correlate that with the molecular events that have altered synaptic function. That will bring us one step closer to behavior. Now, the other announcement I want to make is we've just appointed a new director of SAFARI, and that's Lou Reichardt from UCSF. Lou has spent his life studying early development of the nervous system. He'd been a Howard Hughes investigator for more than 20 years, and he's a very prominent member of the scientific community, directed the UCSF Excellent Neuroscience Program for 20 years. And he, although he's a fundamental scientist interested in the molecular aspects of signal transduction, including neurotrophins, he's more and more in recent years become involved in translational research and is eager to push beyond that to human subjects research and early clinical trials. Lou has had another life, which is auspicious for autism. He's one of the world premier mountaineers, recently elected to the Mountaineering Hall of Fame. He is the only individual who has climbed both K2 in Nepal and the east face of Mount Everest. His career doing that is over. Here he is on the peak of K2. But we do recognize he's got another very, very formidable peak to climb, and that is into a deeper understanding of autism in the effort to improve the quality of life of those on the spectrum. He's going to join a wonderful crew listed here. John Spiro is a slightly bigger font because he is the deputy director of SAFARI. But I know you're familiar with all the others, and they're all here. Wendy, Alice, Julia, Alan, Marta, Alex Lash, I don't think is here, and Marion Carlson, who has asterisks next to her name because she has other duties in the life sciences, but continues to contribute to SAFARI. And I'm going to continue to contribute to Safari from my position in life sciences at the foundation. This has become my consuming interest and passion of everything related to fundamental genetics to the delivery of healthcare. So it's been a privilege to watch you, this society, grow, and the foundation will, I know, remain involved and try and help you each step along the way. Thanks.